Hey everyone, and welcome back to the Your Money Your Life podcast. We're at episode 218 of the podcast. We do this every week, and every week I say the same thing. Make sure you like, subscribe, 5-star rate, and review the podcast if you're listening on any devices. If you're watching on YouTube as well, make sure you do the same thing. Leave a comment, hit the notification bell. You'll know every time we drop a new episode, like we are doing right now. Lots to talk about, lots to get into. So let me get into it ASAP. As they say, and talk about the market. The market right now, the futures, the market just like literally opened a few minutes ago, and futures before the market opened were indicating a pretty strong start to the day. And it's mainly off of a couple new data points that came out, which was one on Friday, tomorrow, for those that are listening on the first day we drop. We had data released, earlier on the initial jobless claims, which increased more than expected last week, hitting the highest level since January. Additionally, we had data posted by the Commerce Department reflecting an increase in the trade deficit to $68.9 billion in February. So investors are fearing that the Federal Reserve are going to keep rates higher for longer. And then we had Fed Jerome Powell speaking Wednesday and saying that he's still looking for more data on inflation to be able to time any potential rate cut. So he's keeping making sure the market doesn't get too hot by saying, we're not sure if we've seen enough data to right now cut rates, which they're not going to right now. We've always said maybe in the late summer, fall, the spring timetable seems to be off the table for everyone. And he also, that Chair Paul said that there's going to be a bumpy path to the target inflation, meaning it'll go down, but you might see some bumps along the way with inflation heating up a little bit before getting to their data points. So we've seen the data points really, really take a dip. I don't know if they have a chart here in this article. It doesn't look like they do. But they have pointed towards rate cuts this year. And what are the rate cuts? We keep talking about it, but just to refresh your memory again, the Fed funds rate is overnight borrowing rate, and it's a lot of the rate used to measure borrowing cost as well as savings rate cost, and a lot of hinges on it. It moves off of these rates that are set by the Fed, and it slows. It could have a lot of trickle down implications into the economy, as we've seen when rates go up, mortgage rates go up. Everything becomes, growth seems to slow when it's not as easy to borrow money, right? And so that affects so many different things. So that's a little refresher about what we're doing this for and why we're so hinging so much on the Fed funds rate and what they're going to set and the policies that they're setting going forward. So big, big news item there. We'll keep our eye on it. As far as what the market's done so far, again, market just opened. And so far today, strong open for the S&P 500, for the Dow, for the NASDAQ. Over the past month, strong month. Over the past year to date, from the beginning of the year, we talked about last week, strong start to the quarter. And we'll see if this second quarter is another strong quarter. But we've seen the market be resilient because consumers really haven't taken the hit that I thought they would, that a lot of people predicted they would. And so consumers aren't really taking the hit, even as inflation's coming down, and the market's like, all right, we're gonna keep going, let the good times roll. So that's a bit more about what's going on in the market and what's going on with stocks as so far. So keeping an eye on everything as we see it. News. I haven't read any of the news yet, so we're gonna give real live reactions. I just saw headlines and thought they were interesting. The first one being Tesla sales may signal EV inui, whatever that means. Tesla sales disappointing. Tesla disappointed first quarter sales galvanized the EV makers' critics, while also igniting a fresh wave of concern on Wall Street about the broader industry's prospects. So, not, because Tesla sales dipped, people are saying, "All right, is this EV hype phrase really real?" You've seen different Chinese EV makers trying to rival Tesla. The government has been giving credits to Tesla and other EV makers for their contributions to society, the social being, for making electric vehicles. But the demand for electric vehicles is starting to wane in general. So people are starting to critique this industry in a whole and the ambitious prospects about sales and different things of that nature, and Tesla's out crazy valuation in the market, right? But I still think EV electric vehicles is a wave that is going to continue. A lot of different projections have shown that when you look at 5, 10 years out, a lot, if not all, I think there's a mandate that all, like most automakers, have to have a certain percentage of their cars be electric vehicles by, I think it was 2035. So still very much a thing. And it's just bumpy times right now in general for a lot of companies that are consumer centric, and it's consumer focused. So let's move on to our next story. Smaller specialty cinemas thrive. I thought this was interesting because if you think about the big theater and how that's been, the business has been thwarted pretty much by streaming, by releases coming straight to Netflix, by releases coming straight to streaming platforms. My dad said that he once watched a boxing match at a theater. Like they used to be the place to go, the vibe. And now it's just gone away with a different, with streaming coming and taking hold of that market. But now people say movie theaters aren't going away, despite some of the troubling headlines. The industry has struggled mightily, but they're now the major chains are struggling. But the game has shifted to smaller cinemas, those whose special format offerings are thriving. So they do special format offerings, and they're smaller cinemas. But I kind of I think it's I don't know. I've never really been to a smaller cinema. I don't like that they don't have all the bells and whistles. I want to sit back, kick my feet up, comfortable chair. Do they have that? Do they have, a nice something to order, a full menu? I don't know if they have that. I can't vibe with them. The options for movies, do they have all the options? So this is, I don't know if it's for me, but it seems to be for other people as they're focusing on a niche that's keeping a strong loyalty base. So we'll keep our eyes on. I'm actually interested. Spotify is increasing monthly subscription prices to cover costs related to its newest offering, Audiobooks. So they said they're going to release, right? They're going to increase prices $1 to $2 in the UK, Australia, Pakistan, Sri Lanka, and Ghana this month, according to Bloomberg, the Wall Street Journal. The US will see a price bump later this year. Currently, subscribers can listen to 15 hours of audiobooks at no additional cost. I didn't even know that. I'm not a big audiobook person, but that is interesting to know. They have their Spotify audiobooks was introduced last fall, and they're really pushing it, and they're going to raise prices to cover the cost of offering this free content to the marketplace. So, didn't know about this, but it's interesting. I want to take advantage of my 15 hours of free audiobooks. I didn't even know. I'm a Spotify subscriber. I got to look into this. So you learn something new every day when you look into these articles. Speaking of which, this is a not so great one. Women losing ground in C-suite. So female executives have lost momentum and seats at the table in the movement toward gender parity of the approximately 15,000 C-suite roles at companies in the S&P Global Total Market Index. Just 11.8% are held by women, down from 12.2% from the prior year. A recent report shows the decline represents the absolute loss of 50 to 60 seats, and the marks the first reversal after 2 decades of consistent growth. Listen, this is, I don't know how many of my listen to Twitter people, but it's a big push on Twitter for, even the owner of Twitter is pushing this, which I don't like. The DEI movement, he's pushing against it, right? He's pushing against diversity, equity, inclusion. He's pushing against DEI, and he's saying it must die. And that's when you say that, you have things like this with women losing seats, and which is not correct. Women losing C-suite roles. You have minorities losing upward mobility. And so when he pushes that agenda loud and proud to his over almost 200 million Twitter or X followers, you get these results. Where you lose ground, where women are losing ground, and that's not what you want to see. You want to see more ground being gained, like there was the 2 decades prior. But now, because this agenda is being pushed by an influential person on Twitter, and the owner of Twitter, you're seeing the effects, and it's horrible effects that we have to combat and we have to say something about. So we'll keep an eye on that. That's something we must keep watching. Disney has won its proxy fight battle with activist investor Nelson Peltz, handing a victory to Chief Executive Bob Iger. So, activist investor Nelson Peltz was pretty much wanting to get a seat on the board, and he wanted to start to make changes at Disney because he was saying that the management wasn't doing a great job. And so it went to a vote, right? Like if you own shares of Disney or any company that you own shares of, there's usually annual board meetings and annual votes where you as a shareholder can vote on certain things. And this is one of the things that was up for vote. And Disney's full board of directors, spent $40 million the send-off pelt, and they won the support of, George Lucas, Jamie Dimon, and others that argued that Disney had been underperforming. While Disney had been underperforming, they have now tried to switch their strategy, and they want to give the strategy time to play out before they interject an activist investor strategy onto the board. And so he won. It was an overwhelming show of support. I think it was 94% of the votes. So just means that everything stays pat and they get to go and perform, or at least prove their performance over time. So that's an interesting note. It's good to know how these things work with public companies, with annual boards. Again, it's the board, the CEO. People think that that's the in public companies, that's the boss. That's not. The CEO is actually working for the managing director, the board of directors, whatever they call it for their company. And people who decide who the CEO is and who the top level management brass actually is. And so, and top shareholders as well. Like if someone pulls their money out, that could be a vote of disconfidence in a lot of cases. So, interesting to understand how these things work and get better understanding of what's really, really going on. What else did we need to talk about today? I think we talked, a little bit about the jobless claims. So the number of Americans filing for new claims of unemployment benefits increased more than expected. So that could be why you see the market reacting as well, because they're saying, okay, we actually are slowing things down. You're seeing it by the jobless claims. So interesting to note that the market has been resilient. We've talked about that. But we're getting data points that are all over the place, and it's going to be bumpy, but we'll see. We'll see. Speaking of which, let's dive into roundtable slash question of the week. So you might have saw, and I've talked slightly about it. I'm doing, people didn't really understand what NewsTreet is, and really I've talked about it in the early episodes, but NewsTreet Advisor Group serving over 460 households, tens of millions of dollars that I manage for a lot of great households. And then you look at what we did with venture investing, really bringing together people that had discretionary assets able to invest in new ventures and support new ventures that we believed in. And of course, the new leg of that is now NewsTreet Sports Agency, which is really something I saw when I'm working with a lot of athletes as a wealth planner, business manager, and seeing that athletes wanted premier representation on and off the field, on and off the court, on and off the pitch. And so that's why we started this. We have a new approach of the way we're going to represent athletes and the way we're going to make sure that they're maximizing their earnings on and off their field of play. And so I started this with partners, and we're really off to a really great start in a growing community, and bringing the same fervent attitude that we do to all areas of everything that we do. And so that's NewsTreet Sports. It's really exciting to be launching a venture that we think is going to really change the way things are done. And I have a lot of insight in the way things are already done when it comes to representation of athletes, especially minority athletes. I could do 50 podcast episodes on that, but it's going to be exciting, and it's going to be something that you guys must be tapped into. So follow the socials, New Street Sports, and get tapped into what we're doing. Let's dive into our questions of the week. I saw a lot of interesting ones that I really wanted to touch on. Really good ones. Really, the first one is, let's see. The question of the day, one of them, 3,500 Apple Vision Pro on credit. If you make the minimum payments, how long before this credit card bill is paid off? This is a playoff of the other ones. And I was so into the Apple Vision Pro for like a week, watching a bunch of YouTube videos, like, oh, I got to get this. Now I'm like off of it. Do I really need it? Maybe. I might get it still, but I just don't find it as interesting. It was like really super cool for like 2 weeks, and I've not heard about it ever again. But with a minimum payment, it would take you 146 months to be rid of the debt. In that time, you'll pay over $3,000 in interest. It's just illustrating, like, save your cash to purchase big items or whatever is a big item for you. Save the cash if possible. Question of the day: what was the most watched college basketball game ever on ESPN? I think I saw this already, but it was being brought up because if many of you watched the LSU versus Iowa game, which I even watch. I don't, no shade. I don't sit down and watch women's sports very often, but I am tapped in now, especially women's basketball. I'm tapped in. I watch LSU Iowa. These women are playing great basketball. They're athletes, and It was great, great to watch, to see where the game is evolving to see where so many eyeballs. It was a really, really intense, fun game, and then also one of the most watched games. I think there was 12 million viewers, 12.3 million viewers. And they're saying the answer is Iowa versus LSU's as far as the most watched game. I thought it was a game between, or maybe they mean this year, which is would 100% be true. But there was a game that was 35 million viewers between Magic Johnson's Michigan State and Larry Bird's Indiana State, that supposedly had 35 million viewers. But ESPN said 12.3 million people watched the rematch of last year's NCAA tournament final with a peak audience of 16.1. Most watched back college basketball game ever on ESPN platforms. Okay, well, there it is. The women did it. Shout out to the women on the most watched game. Another question. What percentage of borrowers have a car payment of $1,000 or more? This is interesting. There's a new social media trend where people walk up and interview people and ask them what their car payment is. Just because rates are higher, the overspending and inflation and people really going into stuff in 2021, 2022, made people have a lot more higher car payments. And I think the staggering percentage is now 16.8%. I guess it used to be unheard of. Again, in New York, in Chicago, don't need a car. I didn't have a car in Chicago, didn't need one in New York. It's a walkable city. These are walkable cities. I love it. But 16.8% have a car payment over 1,000. Interesting enough, do you? Let me know in the comments. Folks, this is another good week of the Your Money, Your Life podcast. Make sure you share, like, subscribe, share this with your family and friends. Tap into NewStream, what we're doing. We're building a great community. We will talk to you next week.